Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Fellow de Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not raining tonight anyway. It has been. We've still been getting a lot of rain. It rained a lot out the winery Tuesday night and Wednesday, or Monday night and Tuesday night, an inch and a half both times. Wow, lots of rain. So, excuse me. So, we are behind right tonight. Bus people are happy. They got their wine. They're listening to the show. And thank you for tuning in. If you're listening live, it is the 20th of August, 2015. It is now 7:03 Eastern Time. And if you are listening to it live, you can call in 646-727-3235 and talk to us about whatever you want, preferably wine. And engineer. And I had to give away. I had a landline here and didn't want it to ring during the program. So give us a call if you're listening to us and if you want to talk about wine or stuff reasonably closely associated with wine, we will be happy to talk to you about it. If you're not listening on August the 20th, 2015 at 7:04 p.m., then don't call. We are not live. I won't answer the phone. Although you can still get a hold of us on Facebook and you can get a hold of us on our website and all sorts of stuff. So that's always good ways to contact us if you need to. Or you can email us or anything. All that stuff will be available later. So how you been doing this past week? Glad to have you tune back in. It has been an eventful week. We've had some stuff at the winery we've been doing and trying to get stuff taken care of and cleaned up and ready for picking and for bottling. That's coming up real, real soon. We got some bottling to do. We got some grapes we need to pick. And because of all the events coming up in the future here, I will not be available after this week for 2 weeks. figure the 27th of August and the 3rd of September. So no live shows for 2 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks before I'm back after tonight's show. And that will be the 10th of September. And it'll give me time to line up some guests and start getting stuff back to normal instead of just talking all the time. And I'm sure you would enjoy that and like that. For those of you who are listening, thank you. As always, we do appreciate you out there and listening to us and letting us know. Let me know if you enjoy the show and what's going on. Tonight, some more miscellaneous. A few items and things that I want to pass on to you. We are going to talk a little bit about the fires out in California and new AVAs and all sorts of different odds and ends. So first, let's start out. This is from the AuburnPub.com, the Citizens, AuburnPub.com, Auburn, New York. It is the Lego Casino. The Lego Casino. I don't know if you've heard about that. This is up in the, I just had all in Schenectady area. I'm sorry. It's the Lego Resort and Casino in Tyre. I think it's T-Y-R-E, Tyre, in Seneca County. They're looking at building a casino there, a big one in the area. A casino and resort, and they're looking at it being an anchor in the Northern Finger Lakes area to help build up and all that. The article that caught my eye, an article that I read about this, is written by Bill Martin. Bill Martin is co-owner of Montezuma Winery, Hidden Marsh Distillery, and Idle Ridge Winery, all up in that area. And he said that he's lived his whole life in and around Finger Lakes area, Northern Finger Lakes area, and that he is thrilled that it's happening. He has seen so many people in that part of the state leave. He said that he's watched lots of his friends leave. He has traveled out. Whenever he's traveled out of the area, he sees new housing, new industry, young people out exercising, biking. He said they're benefiting from lower taxes and trickle-down of development. And they said, sadly, the town of Tira has very little of that. In fact, they said it is one of the highest property tax. He is one of the highest property taxpayers in town because of the wineries. The cold reality is that much of the town's land is set aside, which he's happy about, for wildlife preservation. But this causes property taxes to rise. So if the casino is built, the only other benefit he has is that a couple of $1,000 extra in saved taxes, which is fantastic for him and everyone. He said, but it'll also be able to increase business at the winery, increase business throughout the town, throughout the area, and everything else. So he is all for the new casinos up there. The casinos are already saying that they will have buses available to take people to the local wineries. They are incorporating the wineries in. They've also said that all the wines that will be sold on the floor of the casino will be from the Finger Lakes area, which is cool. That's a fantastic idea. I mean, of course, you can go into restaurants and stuff. You're not stuck with just one region, but you can get it from others. But the on-the-floor wines, the house wines, if you will, are going to be from the Finger Lakes areas in the casino. He said that the wineries are 100% based on agriculture, and the casino goers will come for the casino, try some wine, and venture off to visit the beautiful area of the Upper Finger Lakes. So, if you've heard about this, this is the new casino being built up there, is still up for a vote, is still being debated, is still being considered. It hasn't been approved yet, but again, Bill Martin is all for it. He said it could be something that could greatly increase the area and enhance the area and cause all sorts of goodies from the area and all. So, it's something that he is happy about. So if you have any comments about the casino, let me know. But yeah. Oh, what was that? Okay, here we go. Next bit of information here is wildfires in California. How can we have a program without talking about all the fires? I just heard on the news this evening that there were 3 firefighters that were killed tragically. Our thoughts go out to their families. But it's nasty out there. I knew a lot of smoke jumpers up in Montana, Missoula, Montana, years ago. And they were... special breed. You give them a lot of credit for what they do. At the time, I was sport jumping, skydiving, and they couldn't understand why we would just jump out of an airplane, land on the ground, and go do it again. And of course, the sports jumpers could never understand why they would want to jump into a fire. But they do a wonderful job, and they really do take care of stuff, and it's a needed thing. So, the wine growers in Lake County have been keeping a close eye on this Rocky Fire, which is actually the largest fire this season. They're hoping that the smoke doesn't taint the crops. But so far, the vineyards in the area have escaped any flames and the smoke and stuff like that. The center of the fire is located in the eastern part of Lake County, which is actually some distance from the wine area. It generally takes 3 to 5 days of persistent lingering smoke to have an impact on. Last week I talked about the how smoke can cause problems with the grapes and put it into the wine. They're saying that it takes 3 to 5 days for it to, the smoke hanging there. The thing is, you can smell the smoke. We have fires here in the past in Florida. We've had dry conditions and our term of drought a few years ago, we had wildfires around the state of Florida, and you can smell it all the time. It wasn't like, the fire's on the East Coast, so therefore you don't have a problem with it. It was like the fire's on the East Coast, you can smell smoke. The fire's in South Florida, you can smell smoke. The fire's up in the Panhandle, you can smell smoke. It just, the wind patterns and stuff would always just send smoke all over the place. And I think this is one of the things that they might be looking at. But still, they're saying lingering smoke, so if the wind blows and you smell it, it's not going to be much. Only a few days since the fire started on July 29th, they said a smoke hung around in the air for more than just a few hours. They're saying, in contrast, the fires of 2008 and 2011 along the North Coast did cause damage. Smoke from the 2008 fire left Mendocino wines harmed and lost some crops on it, and they lost some wine capabilities. So long as the wind keeps blowing east, the crops in the Lake County are pretty safe. They will probably not suffer any damage. 2 vineyards in Lake County near Highway 20 have been evacuated because they're close to the containment line. But otherwise, it's been good news for the wineries in Lake County. They haven't really been affected much by the smoke problem. That's not to say that they're won't be other problems coming up, but their smoke problem is, as of right now, good. We'll get back to more fire information a little bit here, though. I'm just working my way through. Here's something that I found that was very interesting. This is from a China Wines Information website, en.wines/info.com. If you want to check out the website, but Chinese wine. But this is showing the amount of wines consumed over the last 4 years by China, U.S., France, and Italy. And wine is just as popular in the United States as always, but it is paling in comparison to the wine-consuming nation leader of China. It's just unbelievable. China is almost drinking as much wine as China, as U.S., France, and Italy combined. It's a phenomenal amount. According to the United Kingdom-based IWSR, which I'm not sure what that stands for, but let's see, www.wine/info.com. Check that out. The site I just gave you was EN for some reason, but they show it www.wines/info.com. According to UK-based IWSR, wine consumption in China has increased 36% between 2010 and 2014. That's just under 12% constant annual growth. Canada, the second fastest growing one, had just over 2% constant annual growth rate. In 2014, twice as much wine was consumed in China as compared to the United States. It's not new news. I mean, we've talked about China and how they've are drinking wine now. They have money. It has the middle class has exploded, and they are making money. They're building. They're doing all sorts of stuff. And because of that, the middle class, with their money, has developed taste for luxury goods, and that includes fine wine and fine spirits. And last year, they allocated another 1.9 million acres to vineyards, which is putting it in front of France, second behind only Spain. And it's suggesting that the domestic wine production in China is now producing wine that has gone from bad to good. So it's not just, here we have a vineyard, let's, you know, loosely stomp some grapes and make a wine. They're actually improving the qualities substantially from what this article says and other things I've read. Wine consumption in China is forecast to rise rise by about 25% by 2018. That's 181 million case increase by 2018. The economy, though, Chinese economy slowing down. You probably saw where it's hurting in different areas, or if you haven't seen it, there's been reports out that it's not quite as strong as it was, and things are happening. This could impact the discretionary spending. But who knows? It's the population is so enormous in China. The young consumers are willing to spend on wines and stuff, and it's increasing the exports from abroad. France actually right now is the number one importer to China. So China may soon be the world's biggest producer of wine. A prominent architect there once to see a new Napa in China. They want to make the wines rival the Napa area. They got an area there, Napa Valley. I don't know what that's like, but that's, you know, China is, we've mentioned this before, and it's just amazing how much wine that's being consumed in China. Shocking. I mean, it really is a shocking amount. Told you more stuff about the fire. Here we go. Jerusalem fire in Lake County grows to 16,500 acres. And Lake County is the one we were just talking about. Mostly uncontrolled as of, what was this report? I think this was a couple days ago. 7 days ago. Mostly uncontrolled wildfire in Lake and Napa counties continue to push northeast. I had a customer come in the other day. He says, Napa's on fire. And I said, no. I said, don't be spreading those rumors. It isn't Napa that's on fire. It's Napa Valley. Is a long ways from it. Napa County is the one that's on fire, and that's up in the hills, and that's away. I have a friend that lives in Napa Valley, and he said it's on fire. No, it's not on fire. That all it takes is a suggestion of a problem, and that problem grows. Believe me, the oil spill. Oh, my gosh, Florida is full of oils on the beaches. We can't go there. The hurricanes that went through in 04. Oh my gosh, Florida was hit by a hurricane. We can't go there. And, you know, we can go into all sorts of different things. And that's what happens. Once the rumor gets out there, it makes no difference if it's true or not. It does affect tourists. So, nope, Napa Valley is not on fire. The area around it is. Jerusalem Fire is named for the Jerusalem Valley where it began. And it has burned an estimated 16,500 acres of mostly public land east of Hidden Valley and northeast of Middletown. There's been evacuations of residents. The perimeter along Morgan Valley and Reef Road could affect less than 10 homes in the future, which is good. The less it affects, the better. The fire is now about a week and a half old. It's doubled in size in a 24-hour period, and it's still exploding. And newer blazes threaten about 50 structures or over 1,700 firefighters and other personnel in the area. It was only 6% contained by last week. I haven't heard any new reports on it, how much is contained. The fire started a week ago Sunday, and it has just been going crazy because of the remoteness of some of the areas that they have to get to. It's making it almost impossible to contain it, plus the drought conditions. It's just like a tinderbox there. It's just unbelievable how dry it is there. I was there in the 1977 drought in California, and everything was so dry. It was just amazingly dry. You would walk across a field of grass and it would crunch in your feet because it was so dry. And when you have conditions like that, these fires just go crazy. So nothing, Napa is not, the vineyards aren't being affected. So far, the winds have been steadily blowing east. They've been coming off the Pacific and steadily growing east. So as long as the winds continue to steadily grow east, then there won't be a problem with the smoke or anything. And so, yeah, it's looking good, and it seems to be doing good so far with the fires and the Jerusalem fires, although there are some other fires that are looking at catching up with it. I think I have a little bit more to talk about that in a minute here, too. This was interesting. The effect of climate change on the Washington and Oregon wine industry. We talked about climate change and how it's going to affect the wine growing region and what's going to happen and how it's going to change Napa as we know Napa now, how the growing regions of Montana might be a big wine region. And it's really making a difference how this climate is changing and where the grapes are going to be able to be grown, because they need so many certain days of warmth, so many cooler nights. And, you know, we all know all the stuff that's affecting that. And a slight little difference in temperature can make a difference. Between 2000 and 2039, models are predicting that growing degree days increases in the Willamette Valley and Columbia Valleys from 100 to 200 days. The temperatures are predicted to increase between 0.6 and 0.7 degrees Celsius or 0.6 to 1 degree Celsius in the Willamette and Columbia Valleys, respectively. Finally, the number of growing degree days over 35 degrees Celsius are expected to increase of upwards to 7.5 days in the Columbia Valley and expected to decrease in the minimum temperature expected to decrease by 6.7 degrees Celsius and by 5 to 6 days in the same region. So basically, it's going to warm up, but it's going to warm up good. It's going to increase the temperatures enough that it's going to be able to grow more, which means that the drought's going to frost is going to decrease. It's going to put predicted as many as 18 fewer frost days on a year on average. Most of it being in the spring, which is the time when you have to be concerned about it. In general, Oregon and Washington are seeing earlier late frost than in the past, as well as longer frost-free periods for the whole region. Let me take a sip of wine. Oh, I'm going to tell you about my wine tonight. This is really nice. It's inexpensive. It's a winemaker's lot. It's from Concha Toro. 2012 vintage of Chilean red blend. 50% Cabernet Sauvignon. And they say that's where the red fruit comes in. 30% Carmenere, the black fruit, and 20% Syrah, the spice of the wine. It says the premier winemaker, Hector Irma. Yeah, I guess that's pronounced Erzra, rather, shares his vision to craft a special winemaker's lot blended artfully to speak with a singular finesse and character for palates on both sides of the equator. Here, Carmenere, Chile's emblematic grape, joins juicy Cabernet Sauvignon and luscious Syrah in a personally crafted assemblage. We share this winemaker's lot with pride. Well, that's a nice little description. I like that. So many times saying you're going to get all these fruit flavors and stuff like that, and then people think that there's something wrong with them when they don't. But Concha Toro 2012 winemaker's lot. Very nice. It's not real, real dry. It's got some nice fruit to it. Interesting wine. I love Carmenere. You're not getting the little spicy pepperiness from the Carmenere, but you are getting the nice red blend. So that's why tonight, since I just talked about it, I have to do another sip. All right. Drought in Oregon and Washington. Obviously, with increasing temperatures, the snowpacks will decrease, leaving less water. The governor of Oregon has declared drought emergencies in 19 counties this year so far. According to Gregory Jones, and he has been a guest on the program, an interesting, fascinating guest. I'm going to have to get hold of him again. A top climatologist at Southern Oregon University. One of the most pressing issues related to climate change and wine production in Oregon and Washington is consistent water availability. The West could have the issues of shifting snow amounts and rains and all that, so that's something to be concerned. There, you can see what's happening in California, and they're afraid it's going to bring it up to Washington and Oregon, particularly Oregon. And they're also talking about an increase in premium wine production sites. With increasing temperatures and reduced frost days, many vineyard sites will be more similar to today's premium wine growing regions in California. I have said before, the next Napa Valley will be Oregon's Willamette Valley. It is important to note that one between the climates of California, Washington, and Oregon is humidity. While temperatures in Washington and Oregon are expected to increase, humidity levels are also higher. And this, of course, gives problems with molds and mildews. Premium wine production will certainly be possible due to increased temperatures, but they're going to have to really watch the disease and molds and mildews. And again, what do you think about when you think of the Pacific Northwest and Oregon? Well, it's Pinot Noir. And it's usually the first thing that comes to people's minds when they think of Oregon wines. It's a relatively sensitive fruit. Ideal growing temperatures are between 14 and 16 degrees Celsius. And as Oregon and Washington's temperatures increase, Pinot Noir vines will have to be replaced with more heat-tolerant variety. Cabernet Sauvignon? Dr. Jones says, no, it really doesn't need. He said the majority of the region is not growing Pinot Noir. The reason is that much of the Pinot Noir regions are still relatively cool on the climate spectrum. Continued warming would push them up the ladder of Pinot Noir ripening, moving from more elegant finesse styles to bolder, more lush styles. But it would take 2 to 4 degrees of warming to do this for most areas, and a little more to make them likely not suitable. So, according to Dr. Jones, there's a long ways to go before we have to worry about Pinot Noir being affected in Oregon. And the future of wine in Oregon and Washington is increased premium wine production sites. We'll actually see the rise of newer AVAs in the region. According to Dr. Jones, 50 years ago, the Willamette Valley was a challenging place to grow grapes, too cool and short growing seasons with very wet falls. Now it's become a prime Pinot Noir cool climate variety region with more consistent and warmer growing sessions. The similar place is Puget Sound, right at the cool margin. There are numerous locations within the Puget Sound with a little warmer growing season that could be a prime cool climate variety region. So on up the coast, as it starts warming up, we may see more of the Puget Sound. Conclusion of this area? It would appear that climate change may actually be more beneficial for Washington, Oregon wine, at least in the next 50 to 100 years. And again, it's working up the coast. We've said that. With less frost and greater potential for premium wine sites, it's looking pretty good. Of course, drought pressures may put damper on some of the stuff that is good. An increased awareness of conservation is always an issue, and watching what's going on there. But basically, the Washington, Oregon wine business looks pretty well set for the next 50 to 100 years, as opposed to other areas that are going to end up changing drastically. So it looks good. If you want to invest in land in Washington, Oregon, now is the time to do it before they become major premium areas and you won't be able to touch it. Or if you want to leave a legacy to your kids, because 100 years from now, I don't think any of us will be around. Are you ready for Walmart wine? Oh, my gosh. And I don't mean the two-buck chuck that's sitting over in the corner. I mean actually Walmart labeled. The XOG wines, $9.97 per bottle. Now, these are stacked wines, single-serve stacked wines. We have talked about these before. It comes in the 187-mil glass plastic. And it's got a little plastic seal over the top you peel off, and it gives you a glass of wine. And there's four of them stacked, so 187.4 is 750 milliliter, which is your standard wine bottle. And that's what you're looking at. But it's changing. It's a mini thing. It is something that's new and unique. And the producers of StackTac, that's the company that does the stackable wines, and I have talked about them on past episodes. And see, this is where Mike is always good on this, because when I mention that, he's going boop, 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 and he says, yes, it was done on such and such a date. If you want to check out, I don't know. I'm talking to you and I can't search. So, sorry. You can check it out, though. A lot of that stuff is in archives and listed there. Actually, StackTac was started around 2011, but it launched this idea and licensed the technology and all that. But it's a good idea, you know, shatterproof and the 187 milliliter glasses and with full top, and they can be stacked, or they're actually interlocked with the plastic covering around them so that it holds them together. And it's a great idea. Well, they are now, the brand is going into a partnership. Let me get my engineer over here. Engineer, what is, you probably know her because you watch this. Giolana Rancic, is it? No, I don't know. She was on E! News. She was a host of E! News, and she is a wine person. Her XOG is, XO is how she'd sign off things and all this. So XOG is a unique line that StackTech has partnered with her, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-A, Giolana Rancic, R-A-N-C-I-C. I'm not familiar with her. You might know the name. A lot of you out there might. So they have worked together and created a signature line. Actually, XO is her signature tagline. I see here. And they're looking at it being a Walmart adventure. Rancic has always been a fan of the Stack line, and she was thrilled to be in partnership with StackTech and to give the brand even more mainstream credibility. In late 2014, they are starting to sell it through Walmart. The web shoppers, the brand is also available through wine.com. Initially, they have three varietals: Pinot Grigio, Pinot Noir, and Rosé. So far, the consumer response has been strong. The company's sales has increased 50% in 2015. They are also looking at adding a fourth varietal, Moscato, which has already been added, it looks like. They're launching another Stack brand called Electric Sky, aimed at millennials. No more information on that. It says they are launching a new one. Not serious wines. The point here is the packaging and the fact that it's going to be simple and easy. You pop open the pack and you taste it, you drink it, and you toss the little thing away. You don't have to save it. You don't have to wash it. You don't have to take care of it in any way. You just get rid of it. Tasting notes from this article here says the rosé is the best, with a very nice, refreshing summer quality to it with hints of nectarine. They also said that stay away from the Pinot Noir. It's very unpleasant notes of sourness, which could have been their particular one they got. So, you know, I'm not saying that they know, you know, that you should stay away from it completely. It just made them be a bad one that they got. But StackTech is being very successful with the licensing and technology on this, and they're exploding on the scene. And it's all over Walmart now. So check it out. Next time you're in Walmart, check out the StackTech. We've told it before, and you had to search for it. Now you can find it. Just pop into Walmart, and there it is. And again, serving temperatures and serving things are all what you would normally find for those. So, a Walmart wine. I don't know if it doesn't say here, and I looked at a couple other things. I tried to find information on it, and I'm trying to see if it said Walmart on it or if it was a true Walmart or what was going on with it. I don't know. I couldn't find it. But we have talked about AVAs lots of times. We've talked about how AVAs can be a good thing. We talked about how AVAs are not known. We've talked about how AVAs are out there, and most people, most consumers aren't aware of what an AVA is. Well, there's another one. Northwestern Missouri, under a bid to designate one of the nation's largest grape-growing regions, Northwestern Missouri and Iowa. 8.2 million acres is the proposed Lois Hills District. This is going across western Iowa and a slice of northwestern Missouri. And it's so much larger than anything in California. It also adds some fizz to an area currently home to 13 bonded wineries. So it is something new there. Let me see what. Where am I? 13 bond winery. Michael Wutke Franks, who is executive director of Golden Hills Resource Conservation and Development, said he thinks it's going to be a big boom economically for both states. If this is approved by the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, TTB, following public comment. Now, public comment just expired this last Monday, and no one made any comments. So wineries within the Los Hills District Viticulture could use the term on wine made from the region's grapes. 66 commercial vineyards with about 112 acres currently operate in the region, which is the region is corn and soybean fields. Iowa. I've got to share this with you. My cousin, who is most of my family comes originally from Iowa, and he says, "You heard the Iowa song, the corn song from Iowa?" And I said, "No." He said, "It goes, corn, 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 a tree, corn, 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 a rock." Corn, corn. That's the Iowa corn song, because that's about what it is, if you've ever been through there. But they're talking about this could enhance the demand for grapes from the Los Hills area, adding a viticulture area designation. The Golden Hills organization filed the viticulture application along with the Western Iowa grape growers. More than 210 viticulture areas are now currently recognized. 210 in the country. You ask anybody, what's a viticulture? And nobody knows. We've got over 210. The greatest number, obviously, is still in California. But the largest is the 19.1 million acre Upper Mississippi Valley viticulture area. And that's part of Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Napa Valley is relatively small at 40,000 acres. The first viticulture area was in Augusta, Missouri in 1980. And New Jersey winemakers won approval for one called the Outer Coastal Plain and stuff like that. So another area in Missouri is the 3.5 million acre Ozark Mountain region. There is some talk about tightening the standards for viticulture areas. There's a 22,000 square mile California coast designation that pits many wineries against each other, and that proposal was not rejected in 2002. Most areas remain controversial, but nobody makes any public comments on it. Excuse me. Nobody makes any public comments on it because nobody knows what it is and nobody knows how to comment. And wineries don't, I don't care, so they have Lost Hills District. It doesn't affect me any. The Lost Hills District is soil, rolling topography, and climate. The region has deep, loose soil, typically with high pH, and it is the area's growing season of precipitation likewise offers a difference from the surrounding areas. The initial conversation about the area started 5 years ago, and now they finally, it looks like it's going to be approved. Meanwhile, they're weighing over another viticultural proposal, including a tip of the Mitt area proposed for parts of Michigan and a Champlain Valley area proposed for New York State. So even more AVAs being talked about and popped up. But The newest one, the Los... Was it the Los... What? I just read the Los Hills District. The Los Hills District, another AVA that's been approved. So, you know, like I said before, we need to start letting people know what AVAs are and what they're good for and what they mean and all that other stuff, because nobody knows. And all these AVAs are nice and wonderful, but if people don't know what they are, it doesn't mean squat. Winery was destroyed by the wildfires in California. We haven't escaped them. I'll tell you here in a minute, as soon as my slow computer comes up. The Lake Chillen wildfire in Washington has destroyed one winery and caused many of the region's winemakers and grape growers to evacuate. Ventimiglia Cellars was destroyed last Friday after the owner was forced to flee. Ron Ventimiglia, he said he had a few customers in the tasting room, and when he was told to evacuate, they were told to leave the area about 3 p.m., and the building went up in flames about 9:30 that evening. He got out of the wine with two cases of wine in his computers. The rest, including his 250 cases of finished wine and 40 barrels filled with wine from the 2014 vintage, were destroyed. Sad. Even though his winery was in a metal building, the fire still managed to consume it. He left his irrigation system on with the hopes of keeping his surrounding grapes wet to perhaps slow the embers, but all the sprinkler heads melted. This is how hot these fires are. It's unbelievable how hot these are. They melt just about everything. The fire, which has burned more than 100,000 acres so far, was ignited by a lightning storm. 70 homes and buildings have been destroyed, including the vineyard. Harvest nears for the people, but it's not going to do Ron Ventimiglia any good, because it's over. Everyone is still working. Farm life is continuing. Smoke taint is a concern. A lot of ash falling and covering everything. But they're going to try to wash the grapes and do what they can. And the harvest Tempranillo tested at 22 bricks, but it's ways to go still. So they don't know. It's up in Washington, that area. The wildfires destroyed. It's taken a winery. That's a firefighter. I thought maybe it was a picture of Ron. Sad news. Sad news that it's happening and destroying all those vineyards and everything. It's one other thing I wanted to read you, tell you about here before we close up a little bit. Oh, here it is. Bee decline. Bee decline has been an issue for a number of years. The sudden colony collapse syndrome was a problem, and they couldn't figure out. But now they're saying pesticides are linked to bee decline for the first time in a countrywide field study. And this country is England. This is from The Guardian. It's an English newspaper, The Guardian. A new study is linking the bee decline to pesticides. And more than, the areas being sprayed are carrying over and is affecting the bees. So it's an issue there. There are a lot of places are looking at stopping the bees, suspending pesticides. They're saying that the nicotine-like pesticides are causing bees to become addictive and not looking for other. They're saying the honeybee decline linked to killer viruses, but also the pesticide bees deaths are with the pesticides. It's a major issue. Still, with the bee and the colony collapse, affects a lot of stuff. So now they're saying it's pesticide besides a lot of other different things out there. So, and let's see. Do I have something else here? I don't think I do. I think we might be done for tonight. No. Yeah, we are. No. Let's see. We have no events this weekend. Next weekend we do. We have a class and we have a festival and all sorts of stuff next weekend. But nothing this weekend. We will be open. We'll be there. You can swing by anytime if you're in the area. See us. If you have any questions, you have any comments or anything about the shows, you have anything, you can always email me. The address will be coming up here at the winery or through All About Wine. And I'll look forward to everyone in 3 weeks, next week and the week after. I won't be here. So 3 weeks, you can come back and visit us. This will give you a chance to catch up on some archive episodes that you may have missed. And instead of listening to new ones, thank you again for listening. We always appreciate that. It's fantastic. Maybe by September, Mike will be on a different schedule and he can come back to join us. We would hope so. And we'll try to get a hold of some more Virginia wineries and different ones on that. This is going to give me a chance to do some emailing and phone calls too over the next 3 weeks. Drink lots of wine. Be safe. And we will see you in 3 weeks.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.